Coming to you live from the JRE Tobacco Aladino Mobile Studios, it's the Cigar Pulpit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another sermon from the Cigar Pulpit. I'm the Bishop of the Burn, Nick, and with me in the Ice Tent of Love, this is the first time I've had an actual guest in the Ice Tent of Love, we have Trey McShipley.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, dude?
Well, this is a pleasure to be in your domicile.
Right? Like not many people have been in
and
the Ice Tent of Love.
People say you can't get two in.
I got two in.
You did get two in. Now, I will say, because of the way things are angled, you look like you're like my overlord.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the camera angle today.
Yeah, you look like you're like a foot taller than me.
Yeah, I look taller and definitely bigger. But that's what happens when you have to cram an entire recording studio and two people and a space heater into the 25 square foot Ice Tent of Love.
There's things to learn here, though.
Like, there are.
When you're looking at yourself on camera here,
yeah,
realize, like, this is how porn is shot. So take some notes.
You know, that's true. It's got to be the camera angles to make things look bigger.
Something tells me out there, Trent's going to be like, so I take my dick pics, I put my dick in a tent.
I got to put my dick in a tent, and I got to put my camera up a little bit. Get a nice angle.
I know. Teddy's out there like, I need to make it look smaller. How do I make it look smaller?
I'll tell you, on the dating apps when the ladies are asking for the dick pics, because, you know, that happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you're like, you know, my standard response is, I don't know my lighting and my angles, you know, because, you know, nobody needs to see that. Anyway, so today, Trey Mac is rolling through town just for a brief moment, and he was nice enough to...
Hop in the tit and talk about wieners.
Evidently. But now we're going to hear about PCA. We're going to get a little one on the ground, you know, recap of PCA.
Like a real sausage fest.
Okay. I guess.
Although they did have the women of PCA thing.
Well, you know, you got to.
But like none of the women went to it.
Really?
They put pictures up, and even Half Wheel was like, there were way more women at the show than what's in this picture.
Oh, my God.
I think it was Charlie was trying to be like, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know why the women didn't go to the women of the PCA event, but they didn't.
Well, maybe that's something for the organizers to consider for next year's show.
I think it's important.
Maybe we don't need to do that.
Listen, we have a lot of great women in the industry. Why do we have to segregate them? Just like, no, this woman knows her shit. How about that?
Yeah, I was saying, we just acknowledge it. We don't, like, you know, have a whole breakout panel. So what are we smoking, Trey Mac?
Today I brought, why not? I know everybody's like, oh, did he bring the Fuma Noche? Did he bring the
Cameroon Reserva? Brought the Fuma Noche, because, you know, you have been hyping the Fuma Noche.
I know, but I only got one. Everybody only got one.
And you're like, that's mine.
Yeah. I was like, okay. And I was like, shout out Justo.
I don't want to share it with you.
No, I mean, that would be an awkward show. We're already two dudes.
I was going to say, we're two dudes in a tent. Yeah, I don't know if we need to be fucking sharing a cigar, too.
Bemis and Dickweed in a tent and sharing a cigar back and forth. No, but I wanted to bring something fun, you know, because, I mean...
Well, yeah.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
And so you can only get these at events, and I figure this is an event.
Oh!
So we got the classifieds, the Project Lomas.
Ah, Project Lomas. Okay.
Rolled 8 years. Rolled 8 years ago there,
buddy. For the camera there with the Project Lomas. Okay. So this, okay. Now I'm just doing my, it's not a blind thing, but, you know, since it's got the band on it and I know, you know, who makes it, but we're talking what, like a 5x52 ish Robusto?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just spitballing it here. Spitballing. I mean, you know.
That's how I live my life. Yeah, that's...
Getting that out of the cellophane, man. You know,
Oh, my God.
A little bit of a shout-out there.
Oh, my God.
A little bit of a throwback. And, yeah, so... All right.
I hope you brought a cutter and a lighter.
I did, actually.
I just now thought about
that. It's in
that.
My kangaroo pouch. So.
Okay, I totally forgot that. And I can't get out of this tent. So.
No, we're trapped in here. There's way too much.
We'd have to bite this thing off and light it with the heater.
I mean, you could maybe try and fit through one of the tiny little windows. So, you know. Hang on, my fucking headset is slipping down the back of my head here.
Oh, boy.
I don't know why the hell that's going on. I'm fucking put it on, like, back of my head. Anyway, so it's time to cut the cigar. And the official cutting is brought to you by Dan the Man Ponder over there at Riverman Cigar Company of Crestwood, Missouri. And once again, since we have Trey Mack and he's with Aladino, guys, if you want Aladino and you're in the St. Louis area, you got to swing by Dan the Man Ponder's place. Over there in Crestwood, Missouri. He's got all kinds of great Aladino cigars. He's got some old favorites that maybe you don't see around too often anymore. And, you know, you can get those over there at Riverman. He's also got a great lounge for you to relax in and watch the NCAA basketball, because Dan's a big basketball guy and he's been watching the tournament like crazy. So if you're in the Crestwood area, swing on by, have an Aladino, sit and watch basketball. And if you're not in the St. Louis area, you can give them a call and get mail order. So it works out perfectly all the way around. It's Riverman Cigar Company of Crestwood, Missouri. And with that, it's time to go ahead and cut the cigar. So, okay, I'm going to give this guy the straight cut there. I think I did. Smidgen. There you go.
Aggressive as well.
No problem. I even cleared the chamber there for you.
Now, you know what I've been calling Dan lately?
Uh-oh.
he's the cowboy king of Crestwood.
Oh, there you go. I like it. He has been all up involved in some cowboy stuff.
Yeah.
So
every time I get on Facebook, I'm like, oh, there's a horse. And there's Dan in a cowboy hat.
You got to ride a horse to save a cowboy.
You got to do something anyway.
Or something. I don't know.
I could go a lot of directions with you. And I was like, Dan, I love you. I don't know if I want to drag you down that road.
All right, I'm going to cold draw this thing. Because, you know. Cinnamon bread.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it might be the coffee, because I have put some. But see, that's not cinnamon creamer. That's like an Italian sweet cream creamer that I got going on there. So, but like.
Sorry, Jerry Pulaski, but this is like a Vietnamese cinnamon, you know?
Yeah, it's like a cinnamon bread.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not Laotian.
I like it. That's nice.
Mm.
This is different.
It is.
And this is the event cigar. So let's talk, before I light it up, like, explain to the people what the Fuma Noche is.
The Fuma Noche?
Or not the Fuma Noche. This is the Project Loma.
Project
Sorry,
Loma.
I'm getting all of your different, like, creative names.
We'll
like,
talk
mixed
about
up.
Fuma Noche in a minute. this is Project Lomas. It's classified, so I can't really talk about it. But how
do people obtain
it? You have to go to an event. You have to go to an official
Aladino. So this
Aladino
is the Aladino event cigar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're special. These were rolled before Aladino was a company.
Really?
That's why it's called Project Lomas, because there's projects that Julio was working on before launching Aladino.
I'll be damned.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, look for these. They're super fun treats, and there's only one way to get them. You can't buy them anywhere.
I'm really digging that cold draw.
Yeah.
It's nice. So. All right, I'm going to fire this guy up here. And the beauty of you not having a lighter is you can talk while I'm doing that.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I can step in here. And I don't know if I'm Bemis and you're Dickweed, or you're Dickweed and I'm Bemis. But just us before we hit record.
I think it goes back and forth.
Yeah, it probably does. Just sitting in this tent trying to get things organized. I'm like, we're not the most intelligent.
No. But that's okay. We've managed to make it work.
We did,
you know?
Which people said this wasn't possible.
No.
And, you know, it's kind of like...
I mean, let's be honest here, okay? If all this shit here wasn't here...
Oh, we could get three people in here.
I think we could get four. Granted, we'd be tight like this, you know, two on, you know.
That'd be tough.
I'll be honest. And getting that fourth person in here would require some coordination, because they'd have to come, they'd have to have the chair outside.
And they'd have
to step in, and then they'd have to pull the chair
the
in, set it up, and...
going to have to be athletic.
And have their ass all up in your face as they're setting up the chair.
Yeah,
and
but I think it's possible.
But three is definitely feasible.
For sure.
I mean, totally.
Three. I mean, and, you know, it's kind of like...
Because you and I had a cigar out here last night.
Yeah, we did.
You know.
But, I mean, this is evolution.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, at first, no one knew that the shocker was possible.
Oh, God.
But people proved to him that the shocker is possible. And that led to an innovation where it's like, well, that means the spocker is possible.
For those of you who are listening, this is a Facebook joke or a YouTube joke.
Yeah, yeah,
you got to look at the video.
So first you had the shocker, and that evolved into the spocker.
The spocker.
And then on the west side, they got real creative, and you had the Tupacker. Okay. But out in the Midwest, we do the Dodge Caravan.
The Dodge Caravan.
Yeah, man.
I'm not familiar with the Dodge
Caravan. You know the Dodge Caravan?
No, I don't know the Dodge Caravan.
Two in the front, five in the rear.
Oh, dear God.
It's innovation.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I mean, we've got that going for us. So I don't even know where to go from there.
I don't know how we even got there.
I don't either. I don't know. I think you just desperately wanted to set that joke up. You just
set it up.
Pounced on the opportunity.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. This is perfect to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Anyway, so, okay, you've been to PCA.
Yeah, a bit.
So how was it this year? I'll admit, I had my media ticket, I couldn't make it for budgetary purposes, and so, you know, it's just one of those things. I did have a little bit of FOMO, because, like, I thought it would be fun, but...
So I had a lot of friends that usually go that didn't go this year.
Yeah.
And I had a... ridiculous amount of friends that have never gone to PCA that went this year.
Now, okay, so let me recap what I talked about on the last episode about PCA. So I heard from a number of manufacturers that there were a lot of new retailers that had never been to the show before, but that they were placing smaller orders.
Mm-hmm.
That it's one of those things where, like, you had new guys, but they were coming in doing their, like, 5 and 10 box buys.
Yeah, it's strange for a multitude of reasons. I mean, number one, just moving the timeline up so much quicker meant that we had to get stuff done faster, which is not easy.
No.
Not in a industry where, like, these things take time. Mm-hmm. So there's not much you can do. So that was a constraint, and people were...
Very easy retro handle.
Oh, yeah. Retro is wonderful. I mean, when you're, like, 8 years old...
Well, that's true. I mean, it's got the age to it. But no, anyway, sorry. I did it, and I had to comment on it because it's like, it was fucking good.
Yeah, if it doesn't mess with you, it's a smooth
retro. That was very smooth.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, didn't quite know what to expect, you know, and then we get there, and it was, especially the industry party, you notice real quick there's more people here than there has been for a long time.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But... you're also noticing that it's a lot of people you've never seen at the trade show.
Okay. Which, again, I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing,
no,
per se.
No, it's great.
You know, change, and that's the thing. The whole thought, changing the date, maybe it attracts more people. It sounds like it did.
A lot of Midwesterners that never go, because especially in the Midwest, like, you don't want to leave in July. That's your high season.
Exactly, exactly.
Whereas now it's like, oh, I can go.
Well, and to be honest, no offense to, like, Aladino or any company, but you guys make it easy to not go, you know? I mean, like...
the industry does
this. I'm not saying you per se, but I'm just... exactly. The industry does it. All the reps are calling on all the retailers saying, hey, here are the PCA deals. What do you want to do? And they're sitting in their shop all warm and comfortable and not doing, having to go, you know? So it's like, if you're going to offer the trade show deals... to the retailers who don't go, then of course they're not going to spend the money to go to Vegas, you know?
Yep.
And again, I get it. You know, you guys, the manufacturers need to make your nut off of the show. The retailers, like I said, if they don't have to spend the money on Vegas, but they can still get the deals, why don't they? I mean, it kind of works out.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But so, you know.
Going back to it.
No, I mean, so there was a lot of new people.
Yeah.
And the first day, you know, a part of it, too, is us growing as a company every year. But it was way more work than it had been in the past. Like, slammed. We were freaking slammed.
That's good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
No, growth is good.
So, just constant people, especially that first day. But at the same time, yeah, you're dealing with people that have never been to PCA, and maybe they don't. They don't know what to do because it's their first time. So maybe they have an action plan. Then they get worried about overspending once they get there because you get the hype going and you're like, oh, I want this, I want that. And everybody tried to control themselves. So it was way more people, but the orders were all smaller. And the other part of that is that we're also not – people are cash-strapped right now.
Yeah.
Stores are, because we're still a little ways away from open season for a lot of places. Yeah. Like, shit, there were plenty of people that were having blizzards while we were out there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not go time. So.
New accounts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, a lot of new accounts.
So that's productive. That at least gets your foot in the door in a lot of the new store, you know, to where then you can circle back with them when you are in the go season.
Yep.
And money is flowing rapidly. You know, you can go back and be like, you know, hey, how'd those do? Okay, let's get you more.
Yep.
You know, and you can kind of follow back up. So that's nice. At least you've got some new leads, new contacts.
For sure.
You know?
No, it's always good to open up new accounts, and the easiest way to do it is at PCA. Everybody's in one room together. So that alone is worth it.
Okay.
But it was just strange, you know. It was a strange feeling to the show. If you'd been. Now, if you'd never been before, you would know the difference, but the footprint was smaller.
Okay.
So,
because it wasn't the convention center this year where they hold TPE. This wasn't at the Sands or whatever?
Yeah, no, this was in the actual Las Vegas Convention Center.
Okay.
And the runways, the alleys were smaller. Booths were way closer together.
Oh, okay.
Which, honestly, makes it easier.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you can walk around a little better.
Yeah, I think it was on half wheel because they track their steps at every trade show.
Oh, okay.
And they said this year they took half the steps but saw more stores than they'd ever seen more companies.
Okay.
So, yeah, everything was closer together, which, you know, in a way is nice.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even then, I don't really track my steps, but Justo does. And the first day he did 8 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, now you guys are going back and forth and
building the thing. Yeah.
So, which, that's the other thing I did talk about from my little PCA update from the last episode, is I did hear from a number of people about the Tesla Loop and kind of some of the issues that people were having with the Tesla Loop.
You know, when you actually get in it, it's freaking awesome.
So you did get to use it.
So the first day we were there, there was also a pizza convention.
Okay. I heard about the pizza convention.
Let me tell you what, that's not a bad idea to overlap those two things there. It was nice.
No.
And
I would very much enjoy a pizza convention, obviously, as you can see on the YouTube, because I look like a fucking giant motherfucker compared
pizza
to
Pizza the Hut.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm on like Pizza the Hut. Yeah.
Well, we had a guy used to deliver pizzas. Well, no, he was actually a member of our lounge. And who knows? He might be listening. He's that type. But he delivered Pizza Hut, and he was a very, very large human being. And I don't know if he knew this, but we all called him Pizza the Hut.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But who is it? The guy in charge or that owns Hagen Norsalief. He made a fucking fortune with pizza stores over in Europe, like Spain or some shit, right? Yeah. Anyway.
But it's a Tesla Loop.
Pizza. Okay. Tesla Loop. Yeah. You said pizza. I got distracted.
I know.
Obviously.
So it was really cool. The first day we were setting up, we got to use the loop. And it is so baller.
Yeah.
Amazing. Now, there's a few things that shocked me. So anyway, you get in the loop, and the tunnel is, I mean, it's small.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, I don't know. Maybe a foot of clearance on each side of the car.
Okay. Yeah, I heard it was tight.
It's super
tight. Yeah.
And it's all lit with these changing colors of lights on the runway.
I mean, that would be cool, but I would think it'd be kind of disorienting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had a driver, which I was not expecting a driver.
Well, yeah, no, I thought this was automated.
So I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, and I'm sitting in the front seat with the driver. And I'm like, oh, so they just have a guy here for safety reasons.
Yeah.
And I go, man, it's a good thing you can't hit the walls because this would be no room for error. And he goes, oh, we can hit the walls. And I go, are you driving? He's like, oh, yeah, 100%. I'm driving this thing. And I was like, wait a minute. Like,
oh, and
he said eventually it'll be driverless, but they aren't there yet.
That's fucked up, though, so, dude.
This guy's like hitting that gas pedal.
Yeah.
He's hitting the electric pedal.
The button, whatever.
And I mean, you're just like straight through this tunnel, and you're like, there's no room for error at all.
Like, how fast are you going?
At one point, we got up to just under 60.
Okay.
Which, in that tunnel, is like, it feels like you're going 90.
I was going to say, 60 in a tunnel with that little clearance on either side.
Yeah.
It feels fast.
But, and it was fast. I mean, you go from the convention center to Resorts World in the blink of an eye. Like, you're like, oh, well.
Which this, is cool. I mean, that's the
super,
goal.
Super convenient if it works.
Yeah.
And sadly, they as of right now, they only use the tunnel during conventions.
Okay. Well, that's what I heard, is that basically, so you had the pizza convention on Thursday, and then I heard that Friday, all these manufacturers were coming down to the Tesla Loop in the morning in order to head back over to the convention center, set up their booths and all this kind of stuff. You guys are all down at the thing, and there's a sign saying, Tesla Loop's not operating today.
Yeah, because technically there was not a convention going on that day.
They were set up, but not a convention.
Yeah, we were setting up in between two conventions. And I'm like, this is when we need to use it the most.
Yeah.
And the majority of people staying at the Resorts World were manufacturers. And the reason they did it is because it's convenient to get on the Tesla. That's the whole reason we did it. And then we see the sign that also says, yeah, it'll be operating from 9 a.m. till blah, 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 blah the rest of the week. And I'm like, again.
Doesn't help you.
We
guys.
Have to be there early.
Yeah.
Not at the start of the freaking show. So, yeah, again, like I was like, well, I'm glad I took the Tesla Loop the first day because that was it.
It was the only day you're going to get to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, you got to take it.
But once. To see the future,
yeah,
it was pretty badass.
Okay.
And you're like, all right, I can see how, you know, down the road, this, okay, that just happened.
Was, my mug hit the muff.
Kind of, it's kind of cool.
My mug hit the muff.
We've all been there.
You know.
If it makes a noise like that, you might.
It's like a Brillo pad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dear God. Anyway, so okay. So you got to see the future. So, okay, aside from having a number of stores, but with maybe smaller orders. What else do you have to say about the trade show? I mean, how'd it go for Aladino?
Well, here's the thing. Like, this is the other problem. Like, you don't really know how it went.
Okay.
And because it takes a while to process all the orders and ship them out. Mm. And you don't really know how you did until that takes place because you don't know actual numbers.
Yeah.
And so I know how many orders I turned in.
But you don't know how.
And I have, but I can't remember. It's too fast. Yeah. There's too much going on. I'm like, well, I wrote a lot of orders.
Okay.
But it's hard to tell financially what you did. And you probably won't know for a few more weeks. You know, I also know, shockingly, you know, not talking shit, because, I mean, I used to be on the other side of this ordering stuff.
Yeah.
And I know how hard it is this time of the year, but a lot of credit cards are bouncing this week, too. Which it's like, I get it. Like, you got to move some money around. And honestly, that's one thing we were trying to offer some stores was like, hey, we can ship April 1st.
Which goes back to what you and I have talked about here on the show before, that, you know, a lot of small business owners pay themselves at the end of the quarter.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're going to want to shift that purchase to April 1st after they've paid themselves.
Yeah, and that's the other thing where I can't tell exactly what the numbers were because I turned in a bunch of orders where it's like, you know, charge 1st of April.
So it's going to be spread out between two months and everything. Yeah.
So I won't really know until maybe the end of April.
So, I kind of said in the last episode that I feel like because of the time shift of PCA moving from July up to spring, you know, that it's going to necessitate some planning shifts.
Yes.
For everybody.
Everybody. The entire
industry. Retailers are going to have to shift their budgetary planning to accommodate, you know, bigger purchases in the spring versus in the summer. Manufacturers are going to have to adjust, not just production, but also revenue generation and collection. You know, I'm sure PCA is probably the time when, you know, they say that Black Friday is when small businesses go from in the red to in the black because of sales. Well, yep. I'm sure PCA is the Black Friday for the cigar industry, yep. where you guys get the bulk of your revenue for the year, yep. in one big shot, you know, and that kind of thing. And so now you're having to shift that, you know, financially from July to March, August, yeah. March, April, you know. So, I mean,
it's different.
It shifts things.
Oh, yeah. And we'll see how people adapt, because next year it'll be in April, which yeah. might be a little bit better. It's still early,
mm-hmm.
and it's in New Orleans, so we'll see
how that goes.
It's interesting, but you know, as a company for Aladino, there are a few things happened that were just absolutely spectacular. It was
okay.
the best trade show ever for us. I can bitch and moan about the organization and things that I wish would have happened at PCA to make everybody's lives easier.
Yeah.
But overall, like for us as a company, huge show, best show for us. There were some major things happen.
Yeah.
Number one, I'll go with the Fuma Noche.
Fuma Noche.
If you don't know, you need to know. Fuma Noche, baby. The cigar is it's very different than anything that we've ever done. We don't usually make a ton of full-bodied stuff.
Yeah.
And I hate the word strength. I hate when people use it in general, because it means so many different things to so many different people.
True.
So this cigar, Fuma Noche, is it's dense. That's the word I like to use. It's
dense.
It's viscous, like the smoke is heavy.
It's meaty.
Yes. Now, it doesn't punch you in the face with anything. So it's not a pepper bomb. It's not overwhelming. It's very well balanced, but it also has a shit ton of nicotine.
Okay.
So
it's a beefy guy.
It'll get you.
Okay.
Even though
okay.
if you start smoking it and you're like the first third and you're like, you know, this is really good. It's not really that strong.
By the end
like,
of it.
Yeah, it is. Just wait. Like, I just don't like the word strong. Like,
okay.
Because I'm like, what does that mean? Does that mean spicy to you? Does that mean bitter to you? Does that mean nicotine to you?
So, okay. Like, it's funny you say that, because I think that, so I do the Stars reviews for the Cigar Authority, right? And which I got to get my review in to Dan now that I think about it. Anyway, so I do that, and they do a strength thing on the review.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they ask us to review the strength, and so they average it all up when they put out the review of everybody in the group.
Yeah.
And the Cigar Authority guys, they've been kind of complaining about how, not complaining, but they've commented repeatedly how they think our strength scores are coming in too low. And I think that part of it is that, let's be real, if you're a nerd that's in this group, you're probably a fuller bodied smoker
yeah.
than a light smoker. But on the flip side of that, I also question if maybe we're just not, as a group, aware of maybe what they're asking for with strength. That maybe we're getting, like, you know, somebody's like, oh, I didn't slit my throat with spice and blah, blah, blah. So it's not a very strong cigar.
Yeah.
But maybe they're not looking at the quantity that they're looking at for what is strength, you know? And so, yeah, so maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, and I know how I define it, but I don't think everybody else defines it like me. So I kind of avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, there's body, strength, and flavor intensity. And I think there are three very different things.
Yeah.
So I would say that Fuma Noche is a very full-bodied cigar. That cigar has body.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of nicotine, too. But you don't get that pepper blast. I think a lot of people equate that to strength.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't get that. But if that's what the majority of people do, then I got to be the one to adjust.
Yeah.
But this Fuma Noche, the second day we had a lot of people come into the booth that were like, everybody's talking about this Fuma Noche. Everybody's talking about this, like, this best cigar of the trade show, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I was like, you know, maybe they're saying that at every booth, you know. But I'm like, I'm pretty proud of this cigar. I've been stoked about it for months and really happy to get it out there. But then Will Koop wrote an article during PCA, and he highlighted the three best new cigars at the trade show. And he mentioned Fuma Noche being one of those.
There you go.
And I was like, my man, Mr. Koop.
There you go.
So I'll be excited to see how that reception goes over the next few weeks.
So those are shipping.
Oh, yeah. They're already out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
If you ordered the first day of the trade show, you've got it in the store. I've already had people send me pictures of them smoking.
Fantastic. Love it.
So, and one guy sent Justo and I a video from the lounge Nelson Laguasto's, the Aladino Lounge out in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And that guy just said, this is the best Aladino ever made.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's high praise.
I know.
I mean, I've had some really good Aladinos, which, by the way, let's talk about that for a minute. I am enjoying this Project Lomas. This is good. It's I'd say it's a solid, like, it's a light medium.
Yeah, light medium.
It's a light medium. It's not a light cigar, but it's not, I wouldn't call it a full-on medium.
Here's what I would say. Like, when you smoke this, like, yeah, you can retro it. It's nice and smooth, but that's what age does, right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think for being this old, like, this was probably quite a spicy cigar when it was first done.
There's just a few little tingles.
Yeah.
Just itty-bitty little, like, tickles to the nostrils.
Which, if there's that much, you know, after 8 years, yeah, I'm guessing this was pretty spicy.
It probably was a kicker back in its day.
Yeah.
Which that would, man, I'm sure Julio has the blend written down somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
To where, theoretically, he could blend 100%. This. It'd be fun to smoke them side by side.
Yeah.
Smoke this exact blend in this size. Smoke it a fresh one, like a new one, you know, rolled now. And then smoke this aged old one.
Oh, yeah.
Just to compare,
and just
like,
this is
what
how
the age
change.
Does. That would be interesting to do. Hint, hint. You should
you know,
do that.
I know.
And maybe send me one so I could do that. I don't normally whore myself for cigars, but damn it, I'm going to. You don't get anything if you don't ask. So, which I did ask for the Fuminoche.
You did.
And for the record.
And the Cameron Reserva.
And the Cameron Reserva. And I didn't get either.
Which, that's another one. Like, so that's a total innovation in the industry.
Yeah.
Which you don't get to say very often.
No. No.
But
not a lot of new wheels to be created.
So it has been done. The Cameron Reserva is the world's first Cameron Puro on the market. At least if it's been done before, it was before my time. Somebody correct me. But as far as we know, and as far as Justo and Julio are concerned, like, I don't know anybody that's ever done this.
Well, if Julio doesn't know anybody that's ever done it, I sincerely doubt it's been done. Now, my question, when is that shipping?
So that'll ship in June.
Okay, so that's a look for that early summer kind of thing.
And you know what? Honestly, I don't know if looking is going to help you.
Super limited.
Very limited. I mean, anytime you're doing something that's not been done.
Yeah.
You can't just give it away.
Well, I'm assuming the Aladino lounges are going to get them.
The lounges will get it. It's an allocated product.
Yeah.
So the lounges are going to get it. But even then, like, usually when we do something new and big, the lounges get, like, whatever they want. You
this
tell
one,
us
it
what
was
you
still
want.
Tight.
This one, it's like, sorry, even the lounges, you get more than anybody, but you're getting like 10 boxes.
Okay. So it's one of those things. If you happen to see it in the wild, grab it quick.
Or I would already, especially if you're a fan of the Aladino Cameroon.
Yeah.
And you got a store that you buy them from.
Yeah.
I would go to them and be like, hey, I'm your big Aladino Cameroon buyer.
Yeah.
When these come in, like, I want to be on the list.
Yeah, like pre-reserve kind of thing.
Because most stores in the country, well, number one, there's only like 130 stores that are going to get it.
Okay, okay.
And of those, the majority of them are two boxes.
Mm.
And they're 10-count boxes.
Okay.
So this is going to be extremely sought after. It's extremely limited.
The MSRP on that's $22, I believe.
$22.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, you know, that's $220 for a box, that's not bad.
Especially for a box of something that's not been done before.
Yeah, that you're not going to find all over the place.
Yeah.
So.
And don't.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And I mean, I might be talking out my ass here, but I would love for this to be like a yearly thing.
That would be nice.
Like once a year, here's your hunt. Go find the Cameroon Reserve.
Yes, yes.
I don't know what Justo and Julio are planning. But I know that we're growing a lot of Cameroon.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. That Cameroon that is being used for this, is, if I'm right, I think I saw in the press release, it's been aged since 2017.
It was in the Pilones in 2017,
So, okay. So if that's the case, And maybe this is a question you're not able to answer. But does that mean there's a 2018 batch, a 2019 batch, to where theoretically next year we have the 2018 batch?
Theoretically, we'll see.
Okay, you know? Okay, all right.
All I'm saying, go. If you're an Aladino fan, or boy, these birds are really going at it today.
I know.
Like it's springtime. Well, you know what I mean?
I know, right? Yeah, the bush is behind the wall here that we're sitting against.
Oh, boy. You know what they say? A bird in the bush is worth two dipshits in a tent.
Exactly. It felt appropriate at the time.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
So Cameron Reserva, like, I can't say enough about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I didn't want to say too much about it at the trade show because, like, Fuminoche should get the spotlight.
Well, and that was exactly where I was about to ask. So, like, when people are coming up to the booth to ask you and be like, hey, I'm hearing about this, I wanted to talk about this. Was it Fuminoche talk or was it Cameroon Reserva
talk?
Yeah,
it was mostly... Now, I think the media was talking more about the Cameroon Reserva.
Yeah.
But the people at the show were talking more about the Fuminoche. Because,
that's fascinating, yeah, too.
It's interesting, right? Now, yeah. Because the media wants to talk about something that's so new and hasn't been done and it's unique.
Yeah.
But the people at the show were all talking about the Fuminoche because we didn't give samples. I mean, not even the sales staff got samples of the Cameroon Reserva. It's like, yeah. Sorry, you guys are going to have to hunt them too.
Yeah. But that makes sense. The retailers are wanting to talk about something they can actually get.
Yeah. And of course, the retailers are asking me like, yeah, give me 20 boxes of the Cameroon Reserva. And I'm like, they're allocated. We already have your allocation. Yeah. And we'll call and let you know what that is after the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, but that's also an opportunity. Somebody comes in, I'm like, you know, I think you're allocated like two, but if you do a big order today, I can probably bump you up a little bit.
Get you one more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's a total innovation. It's a total unicorn in the industry, and it's extremely elegant.
Well, that'll be fun.
It's elegant and a different flavor profile than anyone's. You're like, what is going on here?
Well, and I know a few people, so I think I can at least get my hands on one.
I promise you'll get one. It's just... When?
I just want more than one.
I promise. So, and in fact, I can think of a few places you could probably call.
And that's my point. I can think of a few places off the top of my head that I can call right now and be like, when this comes in, make sure.
I'm going to assume Dan is going to get some, but since Dan's not in my territory anymore...
You don't technically know.
I don't know for sure.
Okay, okay.
But, you know, Dan's a huge supporter, so I'm sure we're going to hook him up with something. But they'll be going super fast because, you know, probably only a couple boxes at most.
For sure. Well, and I know another place that's probably that will get them. And it's the Final Third Cigar in
Final Third.
Indiana.
Final Third
which
Cigar.
Which I want to tee you up for that.
Oh, you teed it up, baby.
Okay.
The other big thing that happened at the trade show that is just a feather in the hat. It's so awesome. Can't say enough about it. This is the first year they did this big award show at PCA, and one of the categories was Cigar Bar of the Year.
Okay.
Now, they did break it down into East Coast, West Coast, Midwest.
Okay.
And there were a lot of great places were on that list.
So they found a way to make three winners.
Yeah. But there's a lot
of... So it's not quite a participation trophy.
Well...
It's better than that.
It's better than that.
I'm joking.
You're an asshole.
I'm being a dick. I should. But you get what I'm saying.
But I'm looking at the list.
Look, it is a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the list.
Because there were 10, I believe. How many?
No, I think there's more than 10.
Was it more than 10?
Yeah.
I don't remember how many were on the list.
And I had been to all but like two of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, there's some heavy hitters on this list.
And they were on the list.
And Final Third was on the list, and they've only been in business a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they made this list. And I was like, well, that's just cool right there. Final Third just making the list after being open 2 years when they're going up against like Fox Cigar Bar in, dude.
True. Like, I get that. I respect that. But on the flip side, as somebody who has been up for various things, not for the podcast, but various awards and whatnot, you know, you don't take as much solace in the... It was just nice to be nominated, you know, and that kind of thing. That doesn't make you feel nearly as good as winning.
It's an honor.
It takes you a long time to realize that.
And, you know, there were some people in the Midwest, even out here, that I knew, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they announced the winner, and they said Final Third, Cigar Bar and Whiskey Lounge, and I lost it. you know, Rob and Lisa are very, like, they're very happy, but they were, you know, like, they're not, they can hold their tongue a little bit better than me.
Yeah.
I believe I jumped up from the table, pumped my fist, and said, fuck yeah, nice. Like, as loud as possible. Like, well, I was that guy.
Well, in all fairness, you know, they're in Aladino Lounge, and I know you've been working with them from the beginning, you know? So, like, yeah, that's got to be a nice feeling to know that, you know. Now, who voted? Was that?
Oh, so that's the other thing. I don't know if I should disclose this, but you know, fuck it.
You don't have to. I just want to know: was it retailers? Was it consumers? No, was it manufacturers?
Once the list came out from PCA, they said, you know, voting begins, and anybody could vote, right?
Oh well, okay. So yeah, so it was out there.
But
it
then
was...
after talking to them at the show, I learned that there were other things weighted into the equation other than voting. And part of that
I didn't think you were going to go there. I was just asking.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no.
Okay.
And I guess part of that was like some secret shopper, customer service sort of things, plus online presence.
Okay.
And they, I don't know how exactly they weighted them, but they'd had a lot. There were like 10,000 votes.
Wow. So it was a heavy vote.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Okay.
Which is, anytime you can see the people in the cigar world, like, come together for something like that, it's like, wow, the herd of cats somehow figured this out. But it's very cool. It was so happy. I almost cried. And
so they won Best Cigar Bar.
Yeah.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong, were there categories of bar and shop and whatever? Or
cigar bar.
So they won Cigar Bar in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yep.
They won the top of the region. So they're in the top three cigar bars. They are in the top three cigar bars in the country, according to PCA.
Yep.
That's badass.
And when it first came out, especially on the voting, it didn't say that they were going to split it up into three regions.
Yeah.
And so when I first saw the list, I was like, well, Fox Cigar Bar is on there. And if you haven't been to Fox, it's been in Phoenix forever. It's an establishment.
Yeah.
It's over the top. It's just awesome. And I was like, yeah, no, who's going to beat Fox, right? Like, nobody. Like, to me, it's...
And I'm assuming they took King Kong. The West.
They got the West.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we also had another local shop here won Cigar Lounge of the Year.
Really?
Diebel's in Kansas City.
Oh, I've been to Diebel's. I was out there in 2019 for their Kansas City Cigar Fest. That's cool. Kurt's a nice dude.
Yeah.
And
he did the Ric Flair on the stage. I had the music and everything. So shout out to Kurt. You know, Gable.
He's a nice dude. And I'll tell you, he has a really nice shop.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a more like, it's not just cigars. It's also like kind of a like gentleman's gift shop kind of thing too. Like he's got belts and globes and hats and canes and all kinds of shit in there. Shaving kits and whatever else. But like, it is a nice place. And the humidor is very large.
Yep.
So
yeah, I believe they had Cigar Shop of the Year, Cigar Lounge of the Year, Cigar Bar of the Year.
Okay.
Which, in my opinion, the hardest one of those to win would probably be Cigar Bar. Because typically, guys that have cigar bars, I mean, they're going over the top.
Well, yeah, and you have two products that you have to now worry about managing. You have the cigars.
Yeah.
But then, typically, then you also have the liquor. And let's be real, these guys are all big into... barrel picks and this and that and whatever. I mean, it's a complicated thing to be running, you know, a bar like that.
And you know, Rob has done a fantastic job on both sides. You know, you're going to go in there and you're going to find cigars that you don't find in other places. And then at the same time, when you go to the bar side, you're the same thing. His barrel picks have been off the charts. They do a really good job. You're wearing the sweater.
I am. I knew you were going to bring this up, so I figured I'd... You know, branded out. So
I love it.
Anyway, well, very cool. Well, congratulations to them. And from there, last day of the show.
So the last day of the show, again, super dead.
Which, I wondered about that. With it being on a Monday and not having that half day the next day.
Yeah, usually the half day is dead.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if the idea was if we get rid of the half day, we won't have a dead day. No, you still
but all
have
it did is it just shifted it to just, a
you
full
still
day
have
dead.
A dead day.
Yeah.
Which for us, you know, if you're an older, if you're a legacy company, the last day was brutal. Like, I'm not going to name any names, but I saw a fairly large amount of large companies that on the last day was just the reps sitting there together.
Yeah.
For us, we're a company that's we've been growing every year, and now we're on that cusp of joining some of the bigger boys.
Yeah.
And so that last day was like strictly business for us, getting huge deals done that take us to that next level. And that not having a dearth of consumers allowed for those larger meetings to take place on the last day. And we made some things happen that will definitely change. It'll put Aladino in way more stores cross country.
That's awesome. And that's great that you guys were still able to like kind of take advantage of that last day, even if like, you know, stuff's a little slower. However, the more big deals you make like that, the slower that last day is going to become over time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It does kind of beg the question, should PCA just go to 2 days? Just make it a weekend.
You know, honestly, this is personal opinion. I would not be against 2 big days. And when I say big,
yeah,
I mean, trade show is, the floor is open longer.
Yeah.
Which I think cuts down a couple of things.
What time does it close?
This year it closed at 6.
Ooh. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, media hour starts at 9, so yeah, it goes from 10 to 6?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an eight-hour day.
But here's the thing, and maybe this is me starting to get old and you know, curmudgeon-y.
Yeah.
But,
if you listen.
Yeah, it's happening.
I get curmudgeon-y. Yeah.
But here's my thing. So, you know, the trade show ends at 6, and back in the day, the show has changed. Back in the day, it was much longer. And you would take clients out for dinners and all this. And over the past, like, decade, it's less and less and less than that. You don't take retailers out to dinner anymore. You don't have time to. It's not that you don't want to. You literally don't have the time.
Yeah.
And that was a big reason for retailers to go out. You know, you get wined and dined by the companies.
Yeah.
And then this year, with the half day being gone, it was impossible now. Because typically, you'll have... This is how we do it. You know, your first day, your setup day before the trade show starts, well, that's also like family day. So you go out as a family to a dinner where like, this is just all about the core group.
Yeah, right? Kick it off the event.
Which is cool. And you have, you know, you get your little pep talk, let's go, we're going to do this. And then you'll have, after that, then you'll have a larger team dinner like the next day.
Oh, okay. So you're not even doing the full team at the family thing. It's more just the core group, and then you have the... Okay.
And then, you know, set the tone. This is how we want to do it. And then the next day, you'll have a whole team dinner. So then you have like 20 people. Uber expensive meal because, I mean, everything in Vegas has gotten absolutely insane.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people
saw the Herklotz thing.
Oh, if you haven't... Michael Herklotz on his Instagram put out this video of him with the sandwich and the chips. And if you follow him on Instagram, you got to go check it out. It's the funniest freaking thing ever.
He wasn't lying. I mean, those were the prices there at the trade show. Like, they had barbecue sandwiches. And it's just nothing like out of this world barbecue.
Yeah.
Plain old barbecue sandwich and a bag of chips and a drink, $36.
Fuck. Dude, I stopped at a gas station here in St. Louis. It's we got one location, and it's called Wally's, and it's basically like Bucky's, only it's a bear instead of a beaver. But they have brisket sandwiches.
A bear?
Oh,
what'd I do?
I'm getting a phone call. Oh, I'm just gonna like say no to that.
This show really.
It's a bear instead of a beaver.
Bears and beavers.
Bears and beavers.
It's like, what bear beavers?
What is it? Two bears, one cave. It's like, we got two bears, one tent here. Anyway.
Tell me more about Bear Beaver.
So, they have a brisket sandwich, which is comparable to Bucky's. I won't lie. It's maybe not quite at the level, but in all fairness, I bought it. It was later in the evening. It was under warmers. It was pre-made and under warmers. I think if you were to go by there when they're actually cutting it and making it fresh, probably would be pretty freaking good. $7.50 for a freaking sliced brisket sandwich. Yeah. $7.50.
Yeah,
you're saying $36.
$36.
Fuck that
for a plain Jane, and then all the pop machines.
Yeah,
$5.
Okay.
$5 for a pop, and so you can imagine what these meals are like now. Like, they're stupid expensive.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then you got to be careful too, because they'll put gratuity in there.
Oh, those savages.
And then tip underneath.
Those savages.
So if you're not paying attention to your bill,
you're double tipping.
You'll double tip.
Yeah. I hate that shit. But, that sneaky bullshit right there.
So when you're taking, you know, you have your team and you take like 20 people to dinner.
Yeah.
It's really, really expensive and time consuming too because, you know, most of this industry is of Cuban descent of one way or the other. And dinners are 3 hours long.
Well, I mean, look, you enjoy your time. You enjoy yourself.
It's, it's a process.
It's an experience.
Yeah. So when you go to this dinner, so you get done at 6, maybe you're hitting dinner at like 7:30. And so you're not getting out of dinner until like 11.
Yeah.
And you got cab rides involved and everything because it's complicated out there. And
And Tesla Loop wasn't fucking running. So.
And so by that time, it's midnight. And the main issue for me anyway is that, you know, a lot of people in this industry are like, I'm not any different. You know, I'm a bit of an individual. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of characters in this industry. And they like to go party.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're only getting out of dinner at like 11, 11:30, and then you're going to go party with your boys, you're going to straggle into your hotel room at 5 a.m. and then have to wake up at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're on the trade show floor. I mean, it's a cluster. And I would almost be better if the trade show was 2 days.
Yeah.
And longer trade show.
By
more,
the way,
I'm more interactive.
That noise you hear is the garbage truck coming because it is garbage day.
It's garbage day.
And I remember to take it out last night before you and I went inside and, you know.
So is that, anyway. Is that garbage or garbage?
It's garbage.
Garbage.
Or think green. Think clean.
Yeah. But, you
know, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't look very clean.
No, it's not. Now that I've seen it through these ice tin of love.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. I was distracted by the garbage truck. So you want two longer days.
And make it more interactive.
Yeah.
Like, make it more than just, like, here's your booth, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
No, stretch it out. Like, do some fun shit. Integrate, like, the awards show with, you know, instead the way it is, like, well, the trade show's over at 6, and the awards show starts at 6:30. It sounds like a jet engine.
They've decided to compact all of the garbage
right here.
That they've right in front of my place.
Yeah.
Like, instead of just picking up my can and moving on, they're...
Well,
they're,
you know, hey, we spare no expense here.
I mean, you know, I guess so. Dear God.
This is what you get with your El Dino sponsorship.
It is the El Dino Mobile Studio. Anyway, integrate the awards thing and everything into the show
instead
more.
Instead of having a separate area and it being, like, after the thing is closed... But
at least they're not cutting the grass.
Why not have a central area inside the convention, and you have your award show like in the middle of the day or something, so that you know everybody's
That's true. They could do like a round, like raised stage.
Yeah,
you know, have the microphones and everything to where like everybody, and if they raise it up high enough, they could have everybody just kind of look to the center of the room and like there's the stage, you know, and you could do that.
And I would be down for that, making like even extend the trade show an hour or two, and it would be two really long days.
Go from 9 to 7 instead of 10 to 6.
Yeah. And then for me, I'm like, okay. And then we're having dinner an hour later. And then maybe some of these, cause it's not just, I'm not just talking about reps, but here's what happens. Because all these things happen so late, and everybody wants to go party, after the first day of the trade show, the next day, that first hour, or before noon, you're only getting people that don't drink.
Because
everybody else is just like straggling in. I'm like, there's got to be a better way to do it. We can make the whole show an experience so that you don't have to go out till 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Like if you
Although
made it,
in all fairness, it's Vegas.
People are still going to do it.
People are still going to go out.
But maybe there might
be
a little less if you could actually do it at the trade show.
True. True.
Like your boys are already there.
Yeah.
And like just have a good time. And then I would propose still having a half day the next day.
Yeah.
But only for media.
Oh, push all the media into one day.
Yeah,
instead
or
of
a half day
whatever.
Before or after. Get it out of the
way. Okay, so yeah, so they have the media hour from 9 to 10.
It doesn't work.
I was going to say, does it? Because I'll give you my perspective from TPE with their media hour, okay? I get there at 9 o'clock for the media hour, and you know what I see? a bunch of fucking empty booths because everybody was at party the night before, and nobody shows up to give 100%. The media any time. So now I'm there by myself looking at a bunch of empty booths, and I can't accomplish anything.
Yep.
And then when I then go to that booth during the show, when somebody's actually there, then depending upon the booth, not every booth, but you know, then you got to like figure, you know, like wiggle your way in between sales.
Yeah.
And
you look like an ass.
And you feel like a dick because, like, you know, you're interrupting business and whatnot. And so, in some cases, I didn't even get interviews because it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just would have been at your fucking booth for media hour, I would have been able to get it all accomplished, you know? But,
I would love to have, like, and I think it might be good, I don't know, before or after the show. I mean, probably makes more sense to have it before, but I think it makes sense after because this year, because there was no half day, as soon as that clock hit 5 o'clock, like everybody's like, everybody's
down.
Because everybody's, most people are on red eyes.
Yeah. Oh.
So, like, it was just like, bust down this booth and, like,
there were, make it super quick.
There were disasters because of that. And, like, you're just trying to tear down your shit as fast as possible to make your flight. Whereas if you have that extra half day that's media, well, you can pretty much pack up everything, but not tear the entire booth down.
Yeah.
But you can have packed up all the, people don't think about the little things you have to bring, and then you have to ship back.
You got all the cigars on display.
All the cigars.
Everything else.
So you could pack up most of everything, and then that half day, you still have your backdrop and a table and chairs. But and then after you're done with all the, then you just pack up the little thing at the end, and you're ready to go. It's just less stressful.
No.
And it's and the media would get more media.
Yeah, they get some actual attention.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
That's my suggestion, not that anybody cares, but
you know what?
You know, I'm just one man.
You're throwing it out in the universe. Maybe it'll make it happen. So
manifestation.
There you go.
I hate that shit.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'll manifest it. Okay.
I'm not saying it works. I'm just saying you're putting it out there. You
For
know?
All you ladies that are listening that believe in manifestation. Manifest me some fucking hair, okay? All right, just do it. All right, and I'm not talking like
dear God
hair on my chest or my ass. Like, come on, manifest. I had a mohawk back in the day. I wouldn't mind having another mohawk. So manifest it, ladies.
Manifest.
Get to work.
Make it happen. Make it happen. All right, let's hear from let's hear a Pinky fun fact.
Hey, it's your girl Pinky. Ready for a fun fact? Studies show that overall, men cheat on their partner more than women do. And the age group most likely to cheat on their spouse are 70 to 79-year-olds. This has been Pinky, and I'll be back next time with more fun facts.
They've been with them for like 50 years, and they're just like, fuck this. I don't know. I guess it all depends on your perspective of cheating, because like if you're living in like the villages and you're having like the group orgies, is it cheating? She's there? You know?
I don't think so.
I mean, you hear about that shit, right? The fucking like retirement homes where they get the different colored like poofs on the back of their golf carts, letting everybody know like, hey, I'm into threesomes and anal.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
fucking weird, it's man. Like they got a whole color code with that shit.
That's probably where the hanky code came from. Haven't I talked about it on the show, the hanky code? You don't know about the hanky code?
I don't know if I know the hanky code. I know, like I said, I know that there's a whole, with the loofahs that they use in the shower, they hang those off the golf carts, and it's like a whole color code for that.
Well, if you pay attention to wherever you are in the world, there's also a hanky code.
Okay.
You can go ahead and look this up, people.
Like handkerchief?
Yeah, so you put whatever, if you see somebody with a handkerchief in their back pocket, it's no longer gang affiliation. It's a code
of like, this is what I'm into sexually.
Yes. And then other people with handkerchiefs find other people with handkerchiefs. And it's not bullshit. Like, look it up and then start paying attention.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. And we're definitely not talking about the brown hanky. It's there.
It's there.
Yeah.
Well, we learned something today. All right. Let's do this.
But hold on.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. All right. I'm holding on.
Here's what I'm kind of... Pinky's telling this, and I'm like, yeah. Women always say this. Men cheat more than women. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then she's like, it's 70 to 79. And I'm like, oh, those bastards are skewing the stats for the rest of us. That's what's going on.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. The old guys are making it rough on the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, boy, I don't know what to think about that, honestly. Like, do we join retirement homes?
I mean,
you know, I learned this in Vegas, so I'll add to the fact, and this goes together.
Okay.
These retirement areas, especially like in Florida, where it's like, you know, it's like 60 and up.
Yeah.
Legally, 10% of that area has to go to people younger.
Really? Because they can't discriminate.
Yes.
Oh.
So I had a buddy. He was like, yeah, I'm actually thinking about my, he's like, his dad lives in one of those.
Yeah.
55 and up or 60 and up, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he's like, the house next door is up for sale and they have to have a younger person move into it. And he's like, it'd be quiet.
It would be quiet. Of course, you'd have to be quiet, too.
Yeah.
It's
difficult. I didn't really think
Now, I will say, I also know that there are rules with those 55 and up things that the initial buyer of the house, you know, like for the 90%, has to be 55 and up.
Okay.
But once they sell, they can sell to anybody.
Ah. Very interesting.
Yeah. So theoretically, you have like a relative that's 55 and up, buy a home in a 55 and up community,
and then
turn around and sell it to you.
It's not a bad deal,
you know. And then that way you kind of snake your way in.
It's not a bad deal.
Yeah. So something to consider. Okay, now let's do this.
It's time for the Villiger Cigars Entertainment Report. Brought to you by
Villiger.
Villiger Cigars, one of the leading cigar and cigarillo manufacturers in the world, founded in 1888 and still family owned and operated. Head over to VilligerCigars.com and check the store locator to find a shop near you that carries them. We guarantee that Villiger Cigars will be a wonderful addition to your humidor and cigar rotation.
You know, I'm trying to get this band off this Project Lomas. That's your fucking downfall right there. Is a band here.
Band coming.
Tight little bastard, but anyway. Ah, now it's peeling. Anyway. So Villiger Cigars Entertainment Report. What have you watched? What have you seen? What have you been into?
Well,
you've been out in Vegas, so realistically I do not expect you to.
No, you'd be wrong. I actually watch more.
Oh shit, really?
Because I'm on a plane.
Ah, that's true.
So I did watch before I got out there. I rewatched Total Recall.
Okay. Arnold version or the remake?
No,
okay.
Arnold version, which
that's the only one to watch.
I hadn't watched in like many years.
Get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars. I love it. That and the three-titted woman.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, you know, when I went back and watched it, as you know, I thought it was cool. I never liked it as much as other people did.
Yeah.
But then after I rewatched it this time, I was like, you know, it's better. That's better than a lot of shit that I've seen in.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, this movie's actually better than I gave it credit for.
I like that. I like that you gave it another shot.
I did. And
it's not really my favorite, per se.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Get Your Ass to Mars. But, like, otherwise, you know, like, it's. There are other Arnold movies I would watch before it.
Yeah.
But it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. And Sharon Stone looks pretty hot in it.
Yeah.
You know? So you got that going for you.
Yeah. So it was you know, it was solid. Okay. So I did that and then the others, but it's your turn.
I've been catching back into the Americans, which if you haven't watched that show, I like it. It's good. You know, I know Mr. Jonathan gave me shit about rooting for the commies, you know, it's not a bad show. And then for those of you comic book nerds out there, man, X-Men 97 is kicking ass. I'm loving that on Disney Plus. Like, it's super good. Anyway,
dig it.
Yeah.
Well, went on a plane. I did something that I never really wanted to do.
Did you watch porn?
No,
that's fucked up.
No, I mean, depends on what you're
if your watching. Seatmate's into it. That's one thing, but like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a touchy situation.
Anyway.
Possibly in more ways than one. Anyway, so okay. Anyway,
no, but I did watch. I guess it's a form of porn. It's called John Wick.
Oh, Okay.
Yeah. Murder porn, maybe.
Have you never watched that before?
I've avoided it because...
Dude, the first one is badass. I've never seen any of the sequels.
Okay, so it's just... For me, like, I just don't like stuff that's so over the top.
Oh, it's really over the top.
Way over the top.
They killed his dog, though, dude.
The puppy. He's just really over a puppy.
I mean, killed the dog.
I know.
I feel like it's justified.
So I watched the first John Wick,
yeah.
And that led to me watching the second John Wick. And then on the plane ride home, I was like, well, now I got to watch the third one. Even though, like, after the second one's over, you're like, well, this third one's just going to be, like, you're losing me here. But it was also good. But getting on, do you know Kunal that works for Agonorsa?
I do not.
Yeah, good dude. I love this guy. But yeah. I'm sitting with him on the plane, or right before we get on the plane, and he's like, so what are you gonna do on the plane? And I'm like, I'm going to watch the last John Wick. And he goes, yeah, I couldn't believe they did the fourth one. And I'm like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a fourth
one. And I was like, I thought I was going to watch the last one on the plane. No, I thought there's no way they can do more than...
No, they did a fourth one.
Jesus.
And I think they're doing, like, a spinoff.
Like a TV show?
Something. Hang on.
Bubba Yeager.
I will Google while you... You know,
yeah, but Baba Yaga, you know, it was kind of cool. Like they, you know, they had the right mix of actors in the movie that made it good.
Yeah, Ballerina comes out in 2024.
All right,
yeah, upcoming film. Yeah.
Let me guess, female John Wick.
It's based on original story, first spinoff and fifth installment overall in the John Wick franchise. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
Female John Wick, just like anything.
Ballerina, a John Wick story.
Ballerina,
is what they're calling it.
God, if you want men to watch a movie,
yeah,
just call it Ballerina. We'll come running.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. So,
I'm so over this shit.
I mean, I don't think what was it? Was it Red Sparrow? I think that was Jennifer Lawrence. It was like a spy movie and whatnot and everything. I don't think that did very well. Now that's not a John Wick movie, but nonetheless, I don't think it was an action flick she did, and I don't think it did very well.
It's just being crammed. It's being forced, and when something's forced, it's not fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not fun. I hope I'm wrong, but just the fact that it's called Ballerina, I'm like, yeah, I'm not watching it.
See, I've heard that John Wick 4 is really pretty good. Again, I've only seen the first one. I've never seen
any of the sequels.
It's a
cool setup. After the third one's over, you're like, okay, it's actually set up to be pretty badass. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
So I wanted to hate John Wick.
But you don't.
And I don't. Okay. I kept watching them. And
that's fair.
Now, here's the thing, though. When I'm at home and I'm going to finally watch a movie,
yeah,
I want it to be epic. You know, I want to watch something epic.
Mm-hmm.
A great storyline or a great... You know, make you think sci-fi, something like that. John Wick is not something.
Oh no, it's mindless action entertainment.
But on a plane, that's like as good as it gets. Okay.
I need some coffee.
I think that's as good as it gets on a plane.
Yeah,
John Wick.
Dude, look, I fall asleep on a plane. So realistically, if I'm putting on a movie, I definitely want it to be something mindless.
You do fall asleep?
Oh.
I'm so jealous. I'm the opposite.
We'll take off, and within minutes of takeoff, I'm out. And typically, I'm out until it kind of works out perfectly that I typically wake up about 20 minutes before they start announcing that we're descending.
Oh.
Because that's when the stewardesses are coming around picking up all the garbage.
No. I can't sleep on a plane.
I miss all the drinks. I miss all the snacks. So unless I've got somebody with me that collects snacks
for me, jealous.
I miss everything, but I sack out.
Because it's especially taking all these red eyes. Vegas is always a red eye. And I'm like, great, we're going to get on this plane at 11:50. I'm not going to go to sleep.
I don't do red eyes.
I'm gonna
I did a red eye back from Vegas one time,
no.
And I will never do a red eye ever again.
I'm going to... Now, if I slept on planes,
it just ruins
it's a
me.
Good idea.
Nah, it's plane sleep. It's not great. It's
I don't know
something,
what plane sleep is.
It's something, but it's not ideal.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Planes in general, I think.
Oh, are. I hate
planes. I showed you that picture of my buddy today. That
Yeah, fucking seats unraveling.
No, like literally, the seatbelt was nothing but strings.
Yeah.
Like, this is what's going on, people. These planes are falling apart.
But he's got to make sure he has it buckled.
Yeah, because you know? Heaven forbid.
Yeah, because in an accident, those strings are going to save him.
This is all people coming back from Vegas sending pictures. And my buddy flying to Denver, I mean, it was literally just shreds of a belt. There was no belt. And then, like, the last year when I was coming back from Vegas. How
did that pass fucking safety testing?
Know. Last time I was going back from Vegas on takeoff, the cockpit door flew open and broke. And then my other buddy flying, he flew to Lexington, Kentucky. They sat on the runway for a little over 2 hours because the engine, they couldn't start the engine. It would start and then stop and then start and then stop.
That's when you get a new plane.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I don't think I want to be on this.
No, that's not a plane I want to be on.
And even like the plane I flew on, it was like a 1992.
Yeah.
Would you drive a car? I mean, unless it was in immaculate condition.
But yet they're charging us out the ass to be on these things. And they're charging us out the ass for the privilege of sitting in a cramped space. Like, look, if I'm going to spend this much for a flight, I want maybe 2 seats per row, not 3 seats per row. I want maybe half the rows total.
Yeah.
You know, and I want leg room. I want width room. I want them to be big old captain's chairs, not these fucking rickety ass little things. No. You know,
so I landed and I have to like I got a little family thing going on.
It's like
that
you
I
see pictures from the '50s and they're flying.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's like a luxury thing. It's like, damn it, I want that.
And I could have flown. But the reason I'm here is because I'm like, you know what? No, I'm sick of these planes. Like, these planes are not good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to make the 20-hour drive. So dear I was like, God. Shout out to my boy here at the pulpit.
Yep. It was a last-minute thing.
It was. But, I was like, I'm coming through town. Let's do something here.
I don't have a life, so it worked out well.
And I live in a car. So
it worked out well.
Yeah. I live in a car. You live in a tent.
I don't live in a tent. I mean, I may be by the end of the year, but you could definitely live in this. I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
By the end of the year, I might be living in this.
You get like a 5-gallon bucket for a shitter.
Oh, yeah.
What else you need?
Paper bag.
Wi-Fi.
Anyway.
You're good. Paper bag.
I'm not going to say the story.
You're not going to tell the story?
That's a you story.
That might be a Pulpit Fest story.
There you go. That'll be a Pulpit Fest story. The paper bag.
I'm going to make it. So everybody make Nick tell the paper bag story at Pulpit. Pulpit Fest.
There you go. Okay. Speaking of Pulpit Fest, it's coming up on August 23rd through the 25th down there in Palm Coast, Florida at the Ash and Ale Lounge with our buddy Ken Klarich.
Oh, boy.
And you guys can go on over to eventbrite.com, that's B-R-I-T-E, and secure your tickets. There's no cost to the ticket. We just need the head count. So, you know, go on over there, secure your tickets, and let us know that you're coming. But it's shaping up really, really well.
That's going to be a blast.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for those people who aren't going to the Rocky Mountain Cigar Festival.
I don't know yet. I'm stuck in a conundrum.
I mean, it's not like you and I and Ken fucking scheduled the dates together or anything like that. No, it's not like
we didn't do that together. I mean, we
kind of did organize that together. But
Hey, I didn't sign myself up for the Rocky Mountain Cigar Fest.
Make Joel go. And now the wheels are turning. He could go out there. He could probably get into some, like, you know, Rocky Mountain Wrestling League.
Joel
you know,
go to Cigar Pulpit Fest.
I mean, he could. And it's not that I don't like Joel.
Listen.
But, you know, it's like.
Joel versus Teddy?
Ooh, now that could be fun.
No, it would be a lot of fun.
Deathmatch.
Yeah. Someone's going to die. Like, really?
Well, Teddy does have the bad ticker. But. Joel's
got some issues too.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, yeah. It can be fun.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Trent comes in from the side with a steel chair.
Oh, my God. Trent would be running around with the megaphone like Jimmy
Oh, my
Hart.
God, yes. The mouth of the South.
That's exactly what he is.
Fucking Trent, the mouth of the South. Oh my God, I love it so much.
Yes.
Oh,
and then Gervais could be like. Paul Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he could pull that off.
Well, and then there's Jerry Pulaski just causing chaos for everybody.
He would be like Hornswoggle. That's what he is.
He's, fucking leprechaun?
Yeah, he reminds me of a northern leprechaun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Hornswoggle.
Anyway, so yeah, Pulpit Fest 2024, Palm Coast. You got to be there. What else do I have to do? Let's hear from my monthly cigars.
This would normally be the time that I give some information about my monthly cigars, but I've hired that out this week, so take it away.
My Monthly Cigars is a premium cigar subscription service. It comes in a variety of different size boxes at affordable prices. Use offer code PULPIT and get free shipping on your first box and 20% off any items in the online store at mymonthlycigars.com.
That's offer code PULPIT. Thanks!
While you guys are over there, get yourself some fucking good coffee. If you like the Pulpit Blend, the Daily Press, make sure you get those orders in because it goes away this summer. So, you know, you can, that blend, I guess, is getting discontinued or something. So, you know, we'll have to figure out a new one or something.
Fucking bad coffee.
I don't know. Well, it's a good coffee.
No, what if they did fucking bad coffee?
It's Folgers.
Yeah, but people would buy it just because, like, I gotta try it.
Once.
You could do one run of fucking bad coffee. But it'd be awesome if you just made it, like, kick ass, like, really good.
Yeah. Then it'd be fucking badass.
Yeah.
Coffee. Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay.
What if you just did fucking ass coffee? I'd buy that too.
I mean, you know.
Everybody would buy it. What is this? What are you drinking?
Fucking ass. I'm
drinking fucking ass coffee. I'd buy the merch. You'd sell the merch again, because anybody that bought the fucking good coffee is
would
gonna
want
also
to have a fucking
so
ass
double your merch
coffee
sales.
T-shirt. Yeah. That's true. This is true. So, and for those of you who are interested in the fucking good cigar, make sure you go over to mymonthlycigars.com and sign up for the newsletter to figure out when you can reserve that. So,
love it.
Anyway, so I think. Socials, I'm on the Instagram at the Cigar Pulpit. I'm on Facebook. We have the Pulpit Parishioners group. You can get in on the fun there. Twitter/X and YouTube. And obviously, get your tickets to Pulpit Fest at eventbrite.com.
Do it now.
Do it now. Get your ass to Palm Coast.
If you don't, we're going to ship you to Mars.
Ship you to Mars. And you know, the Cape Canaveral is not far from there.
It's right there.
You can actually see launches from Ken's place.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a little dot of light going up, but you know what it is. And what's cool, Ken said that they're close enough that you see it and you do like hear a little bit. Like it, cool. It is close. So
if we got Joel to go, there's a chance we could strap him to a rocket.
Shoot him into space.
Yeah.
SpaceX. He'd be a satellite up there. That little line of satellites that go by. Oh, there's Joel.
First Aladino in space.
You know?
Why aren't we shooting cigars into space?
I bet the humidity is really bad.
Yeah, but I mean, just to say, the first cigar in space was...
I don't know.
God, you know somebody's going to do it now that I've said it.
Yeah. Well, you know, fucking Colombia or Brazil or one of these, like, South American countries, they're going to, like, you know... They have a space program and they're going to decide to do it and it's going to go poorly. I mean, I don't know if like lighting something on fire in space with like the condensed oxygen
you could
and
just
everything.
Shoot a cigar
that probably
in space.
Is
you don't
not
have to light
that.
It.
Well, if I'm going to put a fucking cigar in space, I want to smoke it.
No. There's not a human being.
Oh, you just want to launch a cigar up
in
space?
First cigar in space.
Well, you know, Fratello had their sticker on the moon lander that tipped over.
I'm guessing if anybody's going to shoot a cigar into space, it'll be Fratello.
I mean, again, they had their logo on the moon lander that tipped over.
It's true.
You know? So, yeah. Like, you know.
God, every time I come on here, somehow we get
this little moon lander that's moon just going to sit there and just become space junk. It's got Fratello on it.
There's no space junk because it didn't go. So, you know, don't worry about the space junk.
Somewhere in a warehouse in Arizona, there's a moon lander tipped over that has Fratello's
worry
logo
about,
on it.
Worry about the Arizona desert pollution. Okay. No. I mean, no, actually, we probably did land that stupid thing sideways. Like, it's so stupid. This whole...
I love triggering you with
God.
The mood.
It's like, okay, we're going to have this thing, this piece of PVC and tinfoil, and we're going to land this on the moon. Like, We haven't been able to do this for 60 fucking years.
But and we'll still couldn't pull it off in 2024.
I'm like, okay. Like, we can't even fly planes anymore. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, if you can't fly a plane, you expect me to believe we're landing? No. And it's like, stop it. Stop it. Give me a fucking break.
You know, I am so disappointed in myself. And I know why I didn't have it prepped up and ready is because this was a last minute thing. But after your last appearance, I had the idea to have intro music for you.
Oh.
And I didn't have it ready. I didn't have it prepped. But I'm going to try and do this now. Don't know if it's going to pull off. But, damn it, of course there's an ad and ruining my comedic set. But, you know, anyway.
TJ Maxx. Over 10.
There we go. All right, that worked out. I want that to be your new intro. It's like, you know, hey, we're here with Trey Mac. And it's like, you know.
Thousand.
Yeah.
Just, you know, Trey Mac. TJ Maxx. I think that's just freaking classic.
That's really funny.
I want that to be your intro.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's your wrestling intro music. You know, you come into the room and it's like. I love it so much.
So, I mean, it's true. I might as well run with it.
Actually,
that was really
you know
good.
What?
Actually, I can't believe you found that.
Oh, dude, I found that the night that you and I recorded that. I will say too, I had a listener. I want to give him a shout out here. There's a gentleman on YouTube. His YouTube name is 13J Gasho.
Okay.
I don't know. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But he says, I'm from Lawrence, Kansas. I'm curious what store Trey was at. I also potentially have seen this hippie chick because Lawrence is so tiny. So, like, you know, where was this store at?
No, there's only one TJ Maxx in Lawrence, Kansas. So
okay.
That would be the
one. So that would be the one, you know?
Yep, I believe that is, what is that? Forgetting my streets. Iowa Street. I don't remember. It's been a while since I lived out there. But, yeah, great bathrooms.
Well, you know, and that's what's funny is I've had other people reach out and say that they never considered the TJ Maxx bathrooms before, but they're going to have to check them out.
It's fantastic.
Then I had somebody reach out and say that they're never going to, it was a female listener, and she said she's never going to look at the bathroom at TJ Maxx the same way again.
It's 2024. I'm not the only guy doing it.
I said it must be nice because he's willing to go and poop there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so quality.
It all works out.
In fact, and this is maybe this is a Kansas City thing. I don't know. But the last time I was in KC, we went to this super nice, posh bar restaurant.
Uh-huh.
This is during the NFL draft. And this was like a draft party, like with a billionaire hosting a couple
Like
it was don't ask me how I got invited. But
okay. Anyway.
I'd never been able to afford this restaurant. And there had been, well, this is badass.
Now you're partying there.
Yeah. And then eventually, like, I had to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for the bathroom, and I find it. We walk into the bathroom. Now, they still had, like, you know, men, women.
Yeah.
But then you enter, and now you're all in the same bathroom.
So two doors that led to one room.
Yeah, and then you get in there, and the women are looking at the men, and the men are like, did you come in? And we're all talking, and we're like, well, it's 2024.
It's 2024. I guess this is
and
what we
so
do now.
Everybody just gets in their stalls and just makes a bunch of bad noises, and you just go through it.
Everybody poops.
They do.
Everybody poops.
They do. But yeah, that was weird. Wasn't ready for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
mean, I guess from a, like, you know, logistical standpoint, it might be easier to just have one bathroom to clean versus, like, two. So,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that definitely happened. And as far as the hippie chick goes, I don't know how old this person is.
I don't know either.
But she would be in her late 30s now.
Okay.
And Lawrence, I know it's a small town, but let me tell you, buddy, if you live there, you know this. Maybe 80,000 people live in Lawrence.
Okay.
40,000 of them are freaking hippies.
So, like, of course, you've seen a hippie chick.
Yeah.
It may not be the hippie
Lots
chick.
Lots of them. They're everywhere. There's
good
a lot of vegans.
Good
you know,
to know.
They just
to
go
know.
Together.
Good to know.
She was vegan, so.
Well, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, ish. She did eat some meat. Anyway.
Yeah, she did.
All right. Let's end this. So, final thought on the Project Lomas. This has been a good cigar. A little bit of spice coming into the smoking experience in the final third. Just a little tingle to the tongue. But all in all, a very smooth cigar.
This was probably a spice bomb back in the day, but now it's refined, and you get a little bit of the. A little bit of that cinnamon that
still
we tasted.
Still a super smooth retrohale.
Yeah, no, yeah. You can still retrohale it the whole way. That cinnamon's kind of in that first third that we kind of tasted, and then it tapers off, and it like progressively adds a little bit of pepper as you go.
Yeah.
Super fun cigar. Hard to get something like this. You got to come to an event.
Come to an event.
Yeah.
Go to an Aladino event. Yeah. Get yourself a Project Lomas and enjoy it. Well, Trey, thank you so much for taking time out. I know you have a drive to continue
drive.
But I do appreciate you taking time out.
Thanks for inviting me into the Ice Tent of Love.
Isn't it nice?
I've always seen it, but never been inside of it.
There you go. Now, when you're doing a Zoom and you see where I'm at, you will know what I'm experiencing. Yeah. So, anyway, guys, this has been another sermon from the Cigar Pulpit. I'm Nick.
And I'm Trey Mac.
Everybody stay safe and stay smoky. Too bad you got to get on the road. And I know a great place for lunch here that allows cigars.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Cafe Telegraph over on Telegraph Road over there. Just found this not too long ago. They got this great little like patio thing. They do barbecue and all kinds of shit. And like they totally allow cigars in the little patio section.
Well, now we know for next time.
It's super great. All right.
Who knows? That might be
on the way back.
Yeah.
There you go. Later, guys.